Hello, and welcome back to part two of this podcast on some of our post-Dreamforce coverage and analysis of what happened a couple of weeks ago at Dreamforce. So I'd like to welcome back Brent Leary, who's a principal at CRM Essentials in Atlanta, who is also an attendee at Dreamforce and a host of many of our interviews and conversations when we were out there. So Brent, once again, welcome back and thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and there's so much to go on. I could see why we needed to do two.
Yeah, we have a lot still to talk about.
And we just talked a little bit about sales in a way, but Salesforce IQ, and you know they made the investment last year. They bought Relate IQ for I think around $390 million, and you know, people have kind of been wondering what are they going to do with it. And so we got a really good instance or idea of what they're going to do with it. They're actually embedding it into a number of things, but they're actually using kind of the engine and the guts of what was Relate IQ to transform into the kind of the entry edition of CRM now. So what was Relate IQ is now basically the underpinnings for Salesforce IQ for small business. So they kind of got rid of or shelved, I think it was the group edition of CRM, and that was starting at $25 per user per month. And they replaced it with what they're calling Salesforce IQ for small business, which basically is a much more robust entry system than what Group Edition was. It has the intelligence baked in addition to the core CRM functionality, but now it allows for more intelligence, so more insights that can be delivered even at the low end of the CRM scale for Salesforce, right to those folks that are just starting out or kind of small in scale, but giving them much more for the $25 that they were paying for Group Edition, which I think is really cool. And it also allows for more opportunity for companies to get started with Salesforce and CRM. If they're high-growth companies, now they have a migration path into other, you know, they can go into the upper premium editions. They can go into integrations with other aspects of Salesforce functionality. At a much easier way than before with the group edition. So I think, you know, that didn't get as much press as some of the other things we talked about. But from the small and mid-sized business perspective, I think that could potentially be a really big deal that came out of Dreamforce.
Yep, because it's really opening the door to, you know, small and mid-sized businesses to you know, that might have gone with a with another CRM system that's more cost effective in the past.
Yeah, and there's a lot at the low end. There are a lot and a growing number of different CRM systems, services. A lot of them are cloud based, and so you have seen a lot of small businesses say, you know what, we don't know if Salesforce is interested in us anymore because the Group Edition product really didn't offer the same value as some of the other systems that were out there. But with Salesforce IQ for small businesses, I think, you know, that has changed quite a bit because you're paying the same amount, but you're getting a lot more now than you did in the past. So that may cause smaller businesses to take another look now and see what Salesforce is putting a little more emphasis back on to them, as opposed to, I think, what was perceived as them looking really at the enterprise market and not paying as much attention anymore to small business.
And so now we also talked before we got on, you know, we started recording, we talked a little bit just about the atmosphere of the show, and at the show we remarked you've been going to the show for quite some time. It's grown in scope and from 2,500 you know, attendees to now more than 150,000 attendees in this year. Can we give people who weren't there a sense of kind of what it's like to go to a Dreamforce show, how it differs from other these industry events, why you think it's significant.
Well, I can't help but think about the first one I went to back in 2004. And like you said, I think the number was about 2,500 people. And the thing I remember most really was it was on Election Day of 2004, and they had a George W. Bush lookalike. Mm-hmm. On, and people were flipping out because they really thought it was him. I'm thinking, why would he be at Dreamforce on Election Day? But anyway, it was just... It was like 2,500 folks. It was in a some kind of movie theater place. Fast forward to, like you said, this year, 150,000. And it's like Woodstock. If you could imagine, you know, what Woodstock was like, it was lots of music being played, people walking around, you know, kind of happy about things. And that's really what was going on at Dreamforce. So outside of the 2,200 sessions that were there and the keynotes, it was just the atmosphere is so much different than most of the other conferences, if not all of the other conferences I go to, and that feel like you are at a business conference, whereas this one, you know, they had the grass that they put down to make you feel like you're walking around at a beach, and so you just see the music's playing all over the place. You know, it's just a different vibe. So it's definitely beyond a user conference. It's you have all the industry influencers are there. You have Salesforce competitors that come and get in hotels and book meetings with influencers because they know they're all there. Everybody is there. So even though it's a Salesforce event, you have all their competitors flying in because they get a chance to speak to, you know, all the influencers because they're all there. So it's you don't see this with any other event in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty massive show. And, you know, it's also, you know, I think there, like other shows, there is the opportunity for kind of hands-on learning. But there's also a fair amount of substantive news and stuff happening there, and it's a pretty colorful vibe, and there's a very healthy ecosystem of partners and, as you mentioned, competitors, and there's kind of an opportunity to see how Salesforce fits in to really the whole front and back office. In a way that I think is pretty useful for companies.
You know, you mentioned the partners, and I think I talked to a number of them. I know you did as well. I talked to the partners, and the vast majority of them that were holding events say, you know, even though we have our own user conference at a different part of the year, the emphasis on Dreamforce is our biggest thing of any event of the year, even if they have their own user conference. And then there's some that have their user conference in conjunction with Dreamforce because they know that's going to have a lot of people and draw a lot of attendees because, you know, they're coming for Dreamforce. So it's amazing to me just how significant this 3 days, 4 days is in the industry from so many different perspectives.
Yeah, it's true, and you can kind of you can see that and you can feel that when you talk to people. There's a lot in terms of what's happening with Salesforce that companies can use and plug into, but there's a lot of impact for their own technologies as well. So Brent, as always, thank you so much for shedding some light on what we learned about and giving us some additional things to think about going forward.
It's always a pleasure doing this with you, Lauren.
You too. You too. Well, I hope we'll have you back soon.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. Well, for more on Salesforce and on CRM, you can always check out searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.